It's a very familiar scripture. I'm going to read the first 16 verses. When you find your place, if you'll stand. John chapter 3, verse 1. There is a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and a spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that come down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, we're so thankful, Lord, for what you do for us, God, the spirit we feel, Lord, that God, Lord, is sharing some of that first song, God, talking about someone praying for us. God, I couldn't help but think about how you told Peter, I prayed for you. God, I pray, Lord, that you will just wrap us up in your arms today, God, Lord, that we can get something out of this tonight, Lord, to use this week and the time to come. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you know, most of the times when I speak, I get ideas from songs I hear. And golly, it's probably been a month or so ago, and I think Charlie was with me in the truck. We were going somewhere, and Mylon Hayes family come on, and they have a song that's called The Sweetest Words Jesus Said. So that's what I want to speak on tonight, the sweetest words that Jesus said. We start out this chapter, and Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. The Bible says that he came to him by night, and it tells us that he's a Jewish leader, that he's a Pharisee. So that's one of the reasons why he had to come by night. He had to be secretive about it because he could have lost his power. They could have did all kinds of things to him. So he starts having this conversation with Jesus saying, you're a wise man. You know all these things. You're different than anybody I've ever seen or heard. And Jesus tells him that you got to be born again. Well, Nicodemus, he doesn't understand that. That just doesn't make sense to him. So Jesus says, it's not going back into your mother's womb. It's asking me or asking the Lord to forgive you. And verse 8, just a side note, verse 8 really stood out. Verse 8 talks about, don't know where the wind comes. The wind just blows, but we don't know where it comes from. You know, this morning the wind blew in here as Jenny was singing, and the Spirit just rushed in. You know, we want that to happen. You know, that don't always happen, but it's great when it does. So the first thing I see, some of the sweetest things that Jesus said, is in verse 16, what I'm mainly focus on tonight. This verse has been said over and quoted over and over again. The Gideons in front of their Bibles, they actually put this verse because this verse can tell you everything you need to know about God. It can lead you to God if you don't know God. And it says, so the first thing I see is, for God so loved the world. Wow, that's amazing. That's us when it says that. You know, and how do we know God loved the world? Well, we know that because he created us. The Bible says in Genesis 1:26, And God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over them that had dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God loved us so much that he created us and he put us over dominion and everything else. He could have chosen for it to be any other creation or creature that he created, but he thought enough of us to make it us. That's enough for us to be excited about right there. That right there is one of the sweetest, that's one of the sweetest things said right there. We also see his covenant with Noah. After everything was destroyed, he said, and I will establish a covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off anymore by waters of a flood. Neither shall anymore be a flood to destroy the earth. We also see his love for the world when he allowed the children of Israel to escape Pharaoh and they walked across on dry land. In Exodus 14, the Bible says, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land on the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus saith the Lord, saved Israel. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. You know, and the Bible tells us that God's the same always, yesterday, today, and forever. Just think about the family he's given you. Amen. You don't deserve that little boy sitting beside you. You know, but God saw fit to let you be his daddy. Tony gets to be these boys' grandfather. And we know how much Tony loves them. You can see it when he walks in the back door, and they're just so excited to see him. I told you before, I was back there one day, and Tony's standing there. And I think Lakin came around the corner, and his eyes lit up, and he had probably just seen Tony 35 minutes ago at the house when they got in the car across the road, yards from each other. He was so excited. You know, the Lord allows us to do that. You got a job to take care of your family. He gives you the help that you need to do that. You got a place to live, and you know it's hot outside. We could take this 10 minutes and shout that the air conditioning's on in here tonight because it's hot. That's a blessing of the Lord. We get God's grace. You know, that's his unmerited favor. It offers forgiveness and redemption to all. His mercy. We get what we don't get, what we deserve, and he takes all the punishment. Provision. Our daily needs are met. We get comfort. In times of trouble, God provides peace to the weary. Our community. We get to go to church together, get fellowship together. And then, you know, for God so loved the world, you know, that's enough right there. But then we get his ultimate gift to us, his only begotten son. And we've been talking about it in Sunday school. We know that God, Jesus, was God's. The prophecy of Jesus in Isaiah, some 700 years before Jesus was born, the Bible says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Then Micah in chapter 5 tells us that the birthplace is going to be Bethlehem. Then we have Jesus telling Mary, God telling Mary, he comes to Mary. And Mary, she considers herself lowly. She's so undeserving. But Jesus, God comes to her and he says, you're going to conceive and bear a son. And Mary says, how's that going to be, seeing I never know a man? And the Lord tells her that the one that's going to come upon her is going to be the Holy Ghost. And Mary, we'll just go on with this story. Mary ends up going to Elizabeth. He tells her that Elizabeth's expecting a child. And we all know the story of Elizabeth. She and Zechariah were old as old could be. And when they met, the Bible says that a baby in Elizabeth's womb leapt for joy. Now, I'm on a side note here for a moment. The Bible says, now Mary, Elizabeth's been pregnant for a few months. We know that. But I think it says 6 months. And Mary has just found out that she's going to have a baby. Actually, when Jesus came to her, she was not yet expecting. God talked to her first about it, and then it happened. So just a side note on there, if John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb felt the presence of Jesus in Mary's womb, that right there is enough to know that abortion is wrong, because, you know, Jesus was just now right there, and he was a full-blown person. So, you know, you can take that to anybody you want. I saw that this week, and I thought, wow, that's right there in the Bible. So anyway, just thought I'd share that. That's just a side note, you know. All right, so we go on. Then we know that Jesus is God's son, because when he talked to Joseph, he told Joseph that Mary's going to have a child and the father is going to be God. It's the son of the Holy Ghost. So we see here how God has it all planned out. Then Zechariah 9 taught that Jesus was going to enter into Jerusalem on a donkey. So we got, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, wow, it doesn't matter who you are tonight. You can be a king, you can be rich, you can be poor. It doesn't matter where you came from. Don't matter what side of the street you came from, what part of town you came from. It doesn't matter how you grew up. I get tired of hearing the world talk about, well, they were brought up this way or that way. You know, to the Lord, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you're brought up, because it's whosoever. And there's tons of examples in the Bible. I thought about Peter and Andrew. Here they are fishing, casting their nets. Jesus came along. He said, follow me. These two fishermen, they follow Jesus. Then we see the Samaritan woman. The woman, she's at the well. She shouldn't have had no dealings with Jesus whatsoever. The Jews were not supposed to talk to the Samaritans. Jesus comes up to this well and starts talking to her and tells her, will you draw me some water? She says, sir, I don't have nothing to draw with. And he ends up talking to her and says, well, I got water that if you would drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. And you know, she went away a changed woman because she sought the Lord. Then we had the blind man. He received his sight. He went away shouting. Then we see the woman with the issue of blood. 12 years she was sick. Every day she was sick. She had spent all she had. But you know what? Jesus saw fit to let her be a whosoever. Again, we got Mary. Mary was she considered herself of low estate, but it didn't matter. Jesus chose someone of low estate to bring his son into the world. Then we see Elijah in the Old Testament. Here's Elijah. He sent to the widow of Zarephath, and their meal, their oil, their cruse is about to run dry, and he says, make a cake for me. And she said, but sir, I just have a little bit left. I'm about to make it for me and my son. We don't eat it, and then we die. And Elijah tells her, if you'll provide it for me, it'll never run dry. And the Bible tells us that they just kept providing and providing and providing and providing. So we have all these examples of rich people, poor people. To the Lord, it don't matter. Matthew was a tax collector, so he became a disciple. Then we have Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, we know he climbed up into the tree so he could see Jesus. And the Bible says that the Lord Jesus told Zacchaeus, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's his purpose in coming. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, then it says, believeth in him. Now with this believeth, now the world, and we've been guilty of this too. We'll ask somebody, do you believe in God? Yeah. Do you believe in God? Yeah. Just about anybody we ask around Lancaster, they believe in God, we're going to get the answer of yes. But James 2 says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. But it doesn't stop there. It says, the devils also believe and tremble. So, you know, even the devil believes in God. That's why he fights so hard to keep us from truly believing. So when we read this word believe, you know, John, the Lord, he's talking about more than just believing. He's talking about salvation. He's talking about trust. Psalms 56:3 says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. You know, there's been lots of times over the years that I've had to trust in the Lord. There's been times that life did not seem fair. Life didn't seem like it was going the way it should go for me. And I had to trust in the Lord. It's talking about placing your confidence in him. Psalm 37:5, commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. It also means to rely on him. That's hard for us because we like doing stuff our way. We like doing stuff on our time. But Isaiah says, he has given power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. When Paul came on the scene, and Paul's another example of a whosoever. Paul was a chief. He called himself the chief among sinners. Paul was out killing Christians. That was his main purpose in life before he met the Lord. But Paul said, and he said unto me, talking about Jesus, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We're also to entrust ourselves to him. Proverbs 3, 5, 6, some of my favorite verses in the Bible. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So we got to do all those things to believe in God. But that still doesn't even hit the surface. We also got to confess. Repent ye therefore, so Acts 3:19 says, and be converted, that your sin may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Luke 5:32 says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We got to accept him. Romans 10:9 says that as thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So that's what that believes all about. It's not just that, oh, I believe in God. You gotta put some confession to it. There's some things on our part. There's some stipulations on our part. We gotta believe. We gotta trust him. You know, we sing in the church song is, you know, when we first started out, you know, we don't fully trust him. But after you see what he can do, man, you really believe. You start trusting. Wow, God can do that for me. You know, God can do that for all of us if we'll just trust him. And then we see, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should not perish but have everlasting life. Our soul is going to live forever. You know, death is a horrible thing. You know, when our loved ones die, that's heartbreaking. I'm at the age now where most of the people that the adults I knew when I was growing up, most of them have went on. And, you know, so I'm at the age now where I can say, you know, I got just as many family on that side as I do on this side. But, you know, the choice is ours to make. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And we got to let the world know that. As we look across this congregation tonight, you know, my prayer is that everybody in here is saved. But if it's not, tonight you have that choice. You can go to heaven with Jesus or hell without Jesus. There's a parable in the Bible, the rich man and Lazarus. The Bible says that the rich man, he was dressed in purple and fine linen. The Bible said that he dined scrumptiously every day. He ate steak, ribeye, whatever it might be. And the poor man Lazarus sat at his gate every day and begged. He just wanted some crumbs. He just wanted anything that would fall his way. And the Bible says they both died. You know, we're not getting out of here alive unless Jesus comes back and the rapture happens. Well, we're going to die. As much as we don't want to think about it, we all have things to do. We have this plan. I got to take care of this. I don't want to leave this person. I don't want to leave this person. But the Bible said that both men died. And the Bible says that in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torments. It's got an S on it. Do you know what? This was over 2,000 years ago. It's 2026, so we know it was over 2,000 years ago. And 2,000 years later, when we're sitting in this nice air-conditioned building, the rich man's still in torments. When you was at the beach a few weeks ago, the rich man was still in torments. When you're sitting in the movie theater watching those movies or whatever it is, the rich man's still in torments. And there's no reprieve, there's no vacation. I worked at the Walmart Distribution Center several years ago. Oh, it was hot in there. Let me tell you, it was so hot. I worked on the dry side. You worked there, didn't you? Oh, it was hot. I heard now they got an air conditioner, so they baby them a little bit now. But, oh, it was so hot. And I was so excited when I would get a vacation and not have to go to work. I was excited about a day off. But in hell, there's never a day off. There's never a reprieve. You know, that we think of the dirtiest sinner we know that's been put in jail for murder or whatever it is, and they can have a chance for parole. But once we wake up or you wake up in hell, you're there forever. That should break our hearts so much because everybody in here, even if you're saved, you know at least one person that's lost, that's on their way to hell. But there's good news. The Bible says that Lazarus, when he died, the Bible says that he was carried to Abraham's bosom. He was in paradise. He was in what we would call heaven. And the rich man had enough sense to think, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my brothers to tell them about this place. You know what? But I wanted to focus tonight on that's still the sweetest words Jesus ever said to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what? Like in hell, there's not going to be a vacation. We're not going to need one in heaven either, because it's going to be happy all the time, worshiping the Lord, fellowshipping one another. And you know what? Nicodemus is who he's talking to. We read John 3:16 all the time. We quote it. But we sometimes forget that the conversation started with Nicodemus. This made an impact on Nicodemus. If you read on through John, in John chapter 7, I believe it is, when they're talking about, when they're conspiring against Jesus, Nicodemus speaks up and says, whoa, we can't condemn him yet. Jewish law says that in order to do this, we got to have a trial first before we can condemn somebody. And then Nicodemus shows up again. And I don't know why we don't use him in our Easter play. We might have to include him in this year's Easter play when we do it. The Bible says that Joseph, when he's preparing the body, that Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, was there also. So Jesus made a profound impact on this man's life. What kind of impact has he made on our lives? Y'all, let's stand. Ralph, if y'all just come up and play something soft.